Hey, my name's Zenu, and you're listening to Anti-Moonboy News. We got a great episode for you guys today. We're going to be talking all about the latest debacle with Michael Saylor and MicroStrategy. Lots of stuff going on there. We're also going to cover the end of day one for MoneroCon. We got four talks we're going to go over and highlight. And we're also going to talk about Peter Schiff, yet again, name-dropping Monero. So lots to get to today. If you like the content, of course, please subscribe or give me a like. And we end each episode with Super Chats. You can go to xmrchat.com/Zenu if you'd like to send a Super Chat and appear on the show. Now, before we get to MicroStrategy and what is going on with that, I do want to give a thank you to my listeners for the reception regarding the .dot files. So it's a new interview series that I premiered on my channel, which I'm very excited about. And so basically this series is going to be an interview format series. It is not just going to be about cryptocurrency or the darknet. I'm going to cover a wide amount of topics, mostly, you know, related to stuff I talk about on this show. But I don't know. I don't want to be limited to that. So the first episode, a lot of people liked. I talked to this guy, Super Godman, who was a former darknet criminal. He's a fan of the show. Shout out. But he's reformed now. And we talked about a lot of darknet stuff, some of it pretty obscure. So if that sort of thing interests you, check it out on my channel. It's about 2 hours long. I will have a separate website for it, I think I'm going to make, and a separate RSS feed, which I'm going to get to next week. And I do have an upcoming interview for that as well for episode 2. That should be coming out sometime next week. So really excited about that. It's already got like 1,200, 1,300 views in a week. So that's really, really great. And I think a lot of people do like the format, the interview format, more than listening to me just babble on a microphone about how much I hate Michael Saylor, which is basically, if we're being honest, every episode of Anti-Moonboy News. It's pretty much why I'm here. So we're going to now get to that story, which is, of course, MicroStrategy having a rough week. A rough couple months. Basically, their stock plummeted to record lows, as well as their preferred stretch, which is very, very low. And that is their yield stock, where basically you're buying this product and you're getting dividends perpetually, and that is starting to go down. And they also announced that the upcoming couple months they're probably going to be selling Bitcoin. So we're going to cover all that and more, but first I do want to talk about the elephant in the room here. And there's a lot of momentum building about Michael Saylor being a fraud, more than I've ever seen. And people are saying things that I've been saying on this program since the beginning of Anti-Moonboy News. I have been on Michael Saylor for being a fraud since the beginning. We were talking about how Stretch was a Ponzi back before anybody else, and how the yield that is being paid out with Stretch is from new incoming money, which is the definition of a Ponzi scheme. I've actually heard of this being referred to as a decentralized Ponzi scheme because all the information's out there, but people are still putting money into it because they're fucking stupid. So this is the nature of what's going on, but the elephant in the room is that Michael Saylor, in this entire period, that like the past 5 years, Michael Saylor is the face of Bitcoin. Like, he literally is the guy who's going around promoting Bitcoin on every single, you know, platform that he can go on. CNBC, you know, Fox, MSNBC, whatever, New York Times, Forbes. He's on everything, right? He's the guy who's always being interviewed. All these other people, you know, like Jack Mallers or the Winklevoss twins, you know, it, those guys are below Michael Saylor in terms of how much influence he has. He's headlined so many different Bitcoin conferences, pretty much every single one. You know, he is, people chant his name. Literally, I've seen videos of people chanting for Michael Saylor. He's always got a big crowd. He's got deranged followers. Now, I am not saying everybody in Bitcoin likes Michael Saylor. Not the case at all. And it's growing, the people who are starting to turn on Michael Saylor. But the problem, though, is he was the face of Bitcoin, or he is the face of Bitcoin right now. And so as this, you know, Ponzi unravels, it's going to have a huge reputational damage on Bitcoin, because like so many people involved with Bitcoin and supporting Bitcoin and promoting Bitcoin worship this guy. And so it's going to be very interesting to see how this is going to be handled, because all these media people who have been interviewing Michael Saylor, they're going to turn on him too. And they're going to pretend like they weren't promoting his stuff, because they're all snakes anyways. And you know, when that fall happens, they're all going to turn, and it's going to be nasty for Bitcoin. And I'm not saying Bitcoin's done or dead or anything. I'm not saying that. But if we really, you know, think about it, the public perception of like people who are outside of crypto, who don't buy crypto, is that it's scammy, and this is not going to help. It's just going to make people turn against, you know, peer-to-peer cash even more. Another thing you have to consider here too, that not a lot of people are talking about it, and but this has to come up, is diminishing returns. It's like the reason Michael Saylor has so many people on his nuts right now is because they believe Bitcoin is just going to go up forever. They've been convinced of this, because they think that the pump in 2017 is going to be replicated every 4 years. They're not actually looking at the charts and seeing diminishing returns. And Michael Saylor, because he's a con man, he's latched onto this, and he's saying, well, of course, it's, you know, cyber hornets, digital capital, credit, you know, he's using these buzzwords, these ridiculous fucking phrases. And it's just catnip for people who don't know any better, who are really buying into the number go up concept. They're buying into it, and they're not understanding that there's going to be diminishing returns. And the entire concept of MicroStrategy is built on exponential gain. Because if he's not getting that, how is he going to be paying these yields or this debt that he has? Because MicroStrategy doesn't make any revenue. They're not like, it's not a product. There's nothing going in other than money paying for these, you know, stocks. They're this at the market, you know, sales. That's where he's getting money from. Where else is he going to get it from? Well, there's one other thing, and that's the Bitcoin that he holds. And he's going to have to start selling a lot of Bitcoin. And as I've mentioned before, once he starts selling Bitcoin, it's going to have a cascading effect, because you're now having the most bullish guy in Bitcoin selling Bitcoin. And so then Bitcoin's going to drop further. That means the MicroStrategy stock is going to continue to plummet. And that means Stretch is going to plummet again. And it's, I don't know what to do here, right? Now, I'm not saying MicroStrategy is over. You know, these things, I think they do take a while to die down. But the bear market is really starting to hurt Michael Saylor. Like, he's feeling it now. And I don't think his reputation can recover from this necessarily. We'll see. you know, the best case scenario for him is that, you know, the money printer comes back on. That's the absolute best case for Saylor. Maybe he can weather the storm temporarily. But the choices he's making are so fucking stupid. I have no faith in this guy. You know, just look at the look at his performance this market cycle. Okay, he bought the top and is now selling the bottom. He has no fucking clue what he's doing. He was buying the top, guys. Do you know how dumb that is? He spent billions and billions, and now he's selling it for like literally half of what he was buying it for, and potentially even worse. Because, you know, if things continue to escalate, I think Bitcoin's going to go a lot lower than people think. Just like Bitcoin wasn't going to go as high as people think. Like I'm seeing 30,000, guys, for Bitcoin. I'm serious. If not lower. Because there's just no money going into crypto right now. Again, like the Fed, this can have an impact. There could be changes. Things change. But no one's interested in crypto right now. Like, there's no hype right now. And there's a lot of pessimism. And as these weeks build up where there's no kick, there's no going back up, you know, there's no good news. People are starting to turn on this guy who we call Michael Saylor, the Pied Piper. Yep. So it's been a bad couple weeks. Now, what happened first? Well, there was this news that he was getting sued by somebody for lying. A lawsuit. I did look into this. It does look like this was some sort of ambulance chaser firm. I wouldn't really put much stock into this, but this is correct, and that he probably is going to get sued a lot. You know, he was on stage repeatedly talking about how you shouldn't sell Bitcoin. Never sell Bitcoin. This is from the MicroStrategy website. I saw this on Twitter. He has his, the company's BTC principles. There's 9 of them here. Okay. Number 1, buy and hold BTC indefinitely, exclusively, securely. 2, prioritize MSTR common stock, long-term value creation. 3, treat all investors with respect, consistency, and transparency. 4, structure MSTR to outperform BTC via intelligent leverage. 5, acquire BTC continually while achieving positive BTC yield. 6, grow rapidly and responsibly, subject to market dynamics. 7, issue innovative fixed income securities backed by BTC. Yeah, it's real innovative to make a fucking Ponzi. 8, maintain healthy, robust, pristine balance sheet. 9, promote global adoption of BTC as a treasury reserve asset. Oh, yeah. That's on their website. And, I mean, they've lied on basically all of these. I guess except for the last one. They have been promoting global adoption of Bitcoin as a treasury reserve asset. That's true, I guess. But they're not holding Bitcoin indefinitely. They're not prioritizing their common stock. They're diluting the shit out of it. They're not treating their investors with respect because they're lying to them. MSTR is not outperforming BTC. It's getting wrecked. The BTC yield is not positive. They're not growing responsibly nor rapidly. They're collapsing, actually. Their innovative fixed income securities is a total scam. And by the way, I want to talk about that too. So with Stretch, we're gonna read their press release. Yeah, so this is their press release, June 29. So after all this pushback that they've had, they've come out with this new announcement to kind of ease their you know, their moon boys, and also to temporarily pump the stock up. Guys, this is only the pump is only temporarily. It's gonna go back down. You know, but whatever. They're temporarily easing people. And what they announced was, let's see here. This is the title. Strategy announces digital credit capital framework, USD reserve policy, STRC dividend policy, digital credit and MSTR repurchase authorizations and BTC monetization program. Okay. So I'm going to translate what this means. Okay. The board approved USD reserve policy. Well, basically, they have a reserve of dollars now, a USD reserve, to pay off these dividend payments, among other debts. So basically, what they're saying is they're going to increase the size of the USD reserve policy, which they have to do. They have to increase the USD reserve because they need more money. But then there's the STRC dividend. So I'm getting to this. The STRC dividends, they need to raise them so more people start buying them, because they need more people buying them because they need more money, and they need to raise the price of STRC because the price is collapsing. And if the price keeps collapsing, they have to keep raising the dividends, because their goal is to have STRC trade in a range to $99 to $100. Right now it's at $82, and that's after this recent market pump from this press release. They're still way off. And the thing about yield, by the way, this is a little pro tip for you guys out there who see these, like, you know, preferred stocks or things like it with high yields. It's like you'll get big returns, or you'll see in decentralized finance, high yield, whoa, 10% a year, whatever. The higher the yield, the higher the risk. Okay, the reason the yield is high is because it is fucking shit. That's what's actually happening. So they're raising the yields. That means it's getting riskier and riskier. That's actually what's happening. So they announced a digital credit securities repurchase program and MSTR repurchase program. Okay, and basically what they're saying is, yeah, we need these the value of STRC and STRF and STRD and STRK, these fucking shitcoin preferred stocks. Literally, it's yield farming. We need to make the price go up, so we need to start buying them ourselves. Okay. And MSTR. Well, we need to have our common stock go up, so we gotta start buying that. Now again, hold on. Let's pause here. Where are they gonna get the money? Well, they have Bitcoin. So they have two options. Sell the Bitcoin they have, or they're going to have to make more stuff because they need more money. So I don't know. So what they're going to do is they're going to repurchase MSTR and then sell it again, I guess. They're going to repurchase STRC and STRF and all these preferred stocks, and then they're going to just make more, I guess. This is why we're calling it a Ponzi, guys. So now we get to the BTC monetization program. Translation, we're selling BTC, guys, because we fucking have to. It says here, Strategy announced that its board of directors has authorized a BTC monetization program under which the company may sell BTC from time to time for three primary purposes. By the way, notice the wording here. We may sell BTC from time to time. It's intentional. They're being purposely vague here. It says, one, to generate up to $1.25 billion to fund the USD reserve. Now, again, it's saying it's saying to generate up to $1.25 billion to fund the USD reserve. Is that within a year? Is that within a month? The $1.25 billion number. What's the time frame for that? They're not giving it. Gee, I wonder why. They also haven't mentioned they can just turn off the yields if they want to, for STRC, for example. They can just stop paying it. Now, they're not going to do that unless it's a worst-case scenario, but they can, and fuck people over even more. So this is the thing, guys. They are starting to really feel the heat, and it's only June 29th. Imagine if we have six more months of a declining Bitcoin. It's funny too, you have this thing called the BTC monetization program, and like they're consistently using these big words, right? So there's a meme I saw on Twitter. You know the Pooh Bear meme where he's normal and he looks like kind of like bored, and then he's in a tux and he's all like smarmy. On the top it says, "Sell Bitcoin for a loss to buy your own crashing stock." And on the bottom it says, "Bitcoin monetization program funding a digital credit repurchasing program of distressed perpetual preferred equity." These fucking assholes, man. What they're doing is they're covering up what they're actually doing with big words that normies are just going to glaze over. They're just going to be like, huh? That sounds good, you know? Well, these guys really know what they're doing. They use big words. This fucking asshole, man. I really... Fucking God. You know what's bad, too? So I go on Reddit from time to time. I do it for research purposes, okay? Because I go to the MSTR page every so often to laugh, basically. But also to get a lay of the land, see what's going on, right? I go to that. I go to Buttcoin sometimes. It's entertaining to hear the cynics of crypto. And even on the STRC page and the MSTR page, you're having bear posting. It's still these subreddits haven't completely turned, but they're starting to turn. That's a signal. If Reddit is starting to turn, the echo chamber. You know, like even I'm seeing on Twitter, the influencers are getting pretty quiet. There's still this case where if you make a post about, you know, MicroStrategy or Michael Saylor, you just get fucking bombed with, you know, like the dumbest responses. You'll get comment bombed, basically. So if your post has like 100 likes, you'll have 88 comments from these people who are just moon boys. They have no idea what's going on. And they're saying, oh, you got to buy the dip, these people. And, you know, this is defining what cryptocurrency is like to a lot of people, and to especially to the anti-moon boy, that it's just very scammy. And you have people who are trying to get rich, so they're chasing people like Michael Saylor, you know, this Pied Piper who's coming to them, promising them gains forever. Like people, you expect the guy who heavily bought the top and is now selling the bottom. You expect them to run a functional corporation. The one who's repeatedly diluting his shareholders. And he continues to double down. Triple down. So yeah, the heat has turned up on Michael Saylor, to say the least. Things are starting to turn. Is this the end, though? Is MicroStrategy going to die soon? And that is where I don't know, guys. It can recover. It can last through this. It definitely can. I wouldn't count Michael Saylor out because there's a lot of retards out there and the market can stay irrational for a while. But here's the problem for the MicroStrategy, you know, bag holders. Okay, here's the issue. Saylor is a fraud, a con man, and he doesn't give a shit about lasting forever, clearly, because he's making some dumb decisions right now. And if he's making dumb decisions now, you better believe he's going to be making dumb decisions in the future. And so if Bitcoin does pump back up, which you guys got to be praying for, you know, if Bitcoin does pump back up, you better believe he's going to just quadruple down and fucking do some more dumb shit. And it's only going to get worse because we're seeing diminishing returns, and he's going to be even more fucked. We'll be having this conversation again in a couple of years. All right, that was a good rant. That was one of my better rants. I'm all fired up right now. Okay, we gotta read some advertisements. Let's do that. And to help me out, we got Robot here. He's gonna read the advertisement for Anon Raffle. Robot, take it away.
Beep boop. AnonRaffle.com. I like probabilities. I like to gamble. I am now a gambler. In fact, I no longer love my girlfriend who was a toaster. Yes, we broke up. And now I just love gambling. I am in love with gambling, and gambling is my new girlfriend. And now I am going to anonraffle.com every day. Beep boop.
Well, there you have it. Robot is on a downward spiral because of anonraffle.com, so check it out. We also have orangefriend.com. We love orangefriend.com. And you want to know why? Because orangefriend.com, they funded MoneroCon this year. And you know what? That's the advertisement. I'm not even going to talk about the website. Why would I talk about the website? Well, we can just talk about how cool it is that these guys, you know, funded a MoneroCon and kept it going. That's the advertisement. That's better than talking about their website, which is also freaking awesome. So check that out. And third, we got unstoppable.money. That's right. Unstoppable.money is, you can't stop it. Okay, guys, it's a wallet. You go on there and you download it, and it is a non-custodial wallet that prioritizes privacy, you know, self-custody, and, you know, not using KYC. They have a lot of good posts on their Twitter lately talking about these concepts, and I like that a lot. You can also use their swap service with that wallet application. And you can swap into all the shitty DeFi applications that are scams. Don't do that. Just hold Monero on there, maybe swap into Bitcoin. That would be my recommendation personally. But if you want to, you got the option. So that's pretty cool. So go to unstoppable.money to do that. We also got Monero.forum. Monero.forum is a message board where you can go talk about Monero. It's nice and chill. You know, it's not like these image boards or social media that just spams, you know, just stuff you don't want to see, like that clavicular guy that I keep saying, don't show me this Twitter, and it keeps showing me it. What the fuck's going on with that? I don't want to see that, so I go to Monero.forum instead to talk about Monero and to have a good time. And lastly, Bella here, my other robot, she is going to talk about webwipe.io. Take it away.
Beep boop. I like WebWipe. It is nice for people who like privacy. But not as nice as Xenu's very attractive personality and stature that is below the height of 6 feet. Beep boop.
I appreciate that, Bella. And yes, WebWipe.io is a great platform to really keep you at ease, knowing that you are safe from metadata that may be lurking in the crevices of the internet about you. So WebWipe.io, check them out. All right, so now let's move on to MoneroCon Day 1, Part 2. We got 5 talks we're going to go over. And I do need to mention this for MoneroCon, as I talked about during the advertisements. Orange Friend, they backed up MoneroCon this year. They financially supported it. They threw the event on, and got to give them a lot of credit for doing that. What's even cooler is you can now go and watch all the videos from the conference. Before, I was just using this private YouTube link they gave me. And, now you can go and you can watch all the videos yourself, which kind of hurts my ego, to be honest. I like to have exclusive entry to things. I don't want these plebeians being able to access these videos. I want to be the one. I'm kidding, of course. That's really cool. They did that super, super quick turnaround. So you can go and actually check out these presentations right now if they interest you, which I encourage you to do. All right. So first off, we have a presentation called The Terminal is the App, Privacy First Software Over SSH by Irim Kuyuku. I'm sorry. I can't pronounce your name. It looks cool though. So anyway, this presentation was freaking awesome. And basically what it is an application that was built for the terminal. And it is a way to swap cryptocurrency only through the terminal, which is really cool. You do it over SSH. And I just like the idea of it because I like using the terminal, right? And the coolest part though is the name. Okay, get a load of this, guy. So this is a swap service you can do over SSH. You know what it's called? Schwap. S-S-H-W-A-P, Schwap. Brilliant. I love it. I was like, man, that is the coolest name. It sold me on the project immediately. But anyways, this is a really cool idea, though. The presentation starts talking about how browser apps are very widely used, and that causes fingerprinting. We talk about this in Attack of the Poison Outputs a lot, but when you use a CoinSwap site, you're leaving things like your IP address, you know, the time you access the website, and like specifically, you know, browser fingerprinting through like something like JavaScript. It's frustrating, right? Because this is kind of how the internet is. And so anyways, with terminals, you can kind of work around that in certain situations. And this is a great example. And so anyway, with this terminal application, it doesn't have any JavaScript and there's no browser APIs. You're not even using a browser API. You're just using your console. And that's pretty cool. So she talks about how this is an application where you do a cryptocurrency swap interface over SSH. It works over Tor and I2P as well. She has the technical details about how she set it up. She had to download the library, make some customizations. She goes over in the presentation if that interests you. It even works on mobile. There are some trade-offs, of course. One, this isn't really normie-friendly, right? And the other one, apparently media isn't easy to use on it. Things like that. You might be wondering, too, like, why do people even use terminals, right? Maybe you're someone who doesn't use Linux. So I do want to talk about that for a sec. It's because it's snappy. And also, it's actually easier in many cases. Because like when your hands are on your keyboard and you're just typing, it's fast, right? So that's why we have like hotkeys where you just like do a command on your keyboard and it pulls up an application or whatever, right? Or if you're in an application and you use a hotkey, it makes it just does exactly what you want to do immediately instead of you dragging your mouse, click, you know, click. That takes like 3 seconds. We don't have the time for that, right? The terminal is like that, but for the operating system, it's really like the brain of your operating system. You can just talk to it directly. And as you learn more commands, you'll like eventually get to the point where you won't even be thinking and you'll just be immediately chugging away at the terminal. And it just looks cool. Everyone always brings up the Matrix, the guy sitting as you know, computer. It's odd. It does feel like that. It's very comfy. And it just looks nicer, too. So many of these applications are just slop. You know, it's just cluttered and stuff. I'd rather just look at a console. It's just text. Very nice. And you can customize the hell out of absolutely everything. It's very, very comfy. So with this application that she built, she also has like, you know, recommendations on how she customized the look of it, and it looks really fresh. So if you check that video, you'll be able to actually see examples from that. Then after she spoke, the audience gave phenomenal feedback. You could tell a lot of people liked the talk because she got some pretty nerdy responses in response. And they were all just great follow-up questions about how it can be attacked and things like that. Okay, next up we have Monero Republic and the future of Monero scalability. And this is by Preland. I'll be honest here, I didn't like this presentation. Now, this is not to say Preland is a bad person or whatever. No, he's probably really cool. This was a miss for me. A lot of that has to do with the fact that this is extremely hypothetical. I don't agree with what he's saying as a response to this hypothetical. And I don't even agree with the hypothetical to begin with. Because basically, he's talking about a future where we have like more transactions than Visa currently. Like just millions and millions and millions and millions. You know, and just like he's putting the cart before the horse. The concept of the world running on the blockchain is moon boy nonsense. Okay? It's not going to happen, guys. Just stop thinking it's going to happen. If the world is running on the blockchain, actually, let me restate that. The world probably can run on a blockchain, but it's going to be with stable coins. Okay? That's what's happening. It's not going to run on fucking Monero. Okay? Monero is anti-state. It's anti-government. Just by nature of it existing. It's a private open source project. Like, that is exactly against what the government wants. It's decentralized. The government doesn't want that. They want something that's centralized that they can control. You know? It's not compliant with absurd regulations that they're going to create. And they are making them right now. Look at Europe with MiCA, you know? That's the template for what eventually will happen in the United States. The United States will probably make something different, but that's what they want, more control over this. They don't want people using peer-to-peer cash because it's hard to tax, hard to monitor. So to think that the government is not going to fight this is just insanity. It's better to think of Monero as this awesome project that we have, this decentralized open source project that we just have to focus on. And it's possible we will have Bitcoin level transactions within the next couple of years. I'm not saying it's not possible, but that is actually dependent on Monero pumping. Okay, that's the truth. If Monero starts pumping a lot, yeah, we're probably going to start to have a lot more transactions. That's just the nature of the game. But it's not just going to happen because everyone's just like, yeah, man, we, you know what? Screw fiat. I want to use peer-to-peer cash. I want to use Monero. Dude, that's not going to happen. Yeah, I mean, this is just a Monero Moonboy thing I see all the time. And it's just, you got to check them on this and say, dude, that's not going to happen. People like safety. Like, look at what happened during COVID, okay? Look at what happened. Look at what happens in the American political climate. I'm talking to Americans here. I don't know how Europe works, but like, I'm sure it's very similar. You have different political parties. Everyone gets sucked in with the media. The cypherpunk is the outlier. We're like the 1-2% of people who are smart enough to know how to use computers and who we're checked out, right? That's who we should be focusing on. Focusing on global adoption is just a total waste of time. The only global adoption Monero is going to have anytime soon is number go up, price go up. Furthermore, if we're going to focus on scaling, we should only focus on the modern scaling problems, like what we're seeing with what they're finding in these stress test, things happening where it's just old code that needs to be rewritten and optimizations and stuff. That's what we should be focusing on, not this hypothetical. So anyways, that's my rant. And he talks about, Visa level scalability. He says the problem is the blockchain, this is true. Like, the blockchain is clunky. It's not better than a centralized application like Visa or like stablecoins. Yeah, that's absolutely true. But the trade-off of that is that Monero is better for peer-to-peer digital cash. That's the trade-off. And then his solution is a quorum of nodes. Yeah, I don't like that at all. He refers to it as a democratic republic. Yeah, I mean, I governance models in crypto, I don't like that. So yeah, this was a miss for me because it's a lot of stuff in Monero, ideas that come out of Monero that I just don't align with at all. Next up, we got Privacy in Monero and Lightning, What It Actually Is by Vasily Rogin. And yeah, this is basically an overview of privacy in the three protocols of Bitcoin, Lightning, and Monero. Very basic overview. He has simple charts. If you're looking for something to kind of dip your toe into what each of these things are, I think it would be useful maybe to check that out just because of the graphs and stuff. None of this is really new information. I like though his the Lightning Network section specifically, just because the concept of the relay network is kind of weird. where basically it's just nodes that are sending information about these Lightning Network transactions to each other. Basically, I'm kind of dumbing it down. I don't know how to explain it. But the diagrams, they're pretty basic, but sometimes that's a good way to, you know, get across how something works. Best part of this was the Q&A. He was asked some good questions. I didn't write them down. I don't know why. I thought I did. Whatever. Anyways, I thought this was nice and cute. Check that out if you're interested in Lightning Network for, you know, kind of how it works. And then lastly, we got Super Test Nat. This guy, man. Oh, man. This is the worst presentation in MoneroCon history. All right. This guy is a piece of garbage. I actually used to argue with him on Twitter. And what gives me a lot of joy is how much cope he is having right now. Because he was actually trying to convince me that Lightning Network adoption is growing. And this was like 2 years ago, by the way. And that Lightning Network is going to see darknet market adoption. He actually made a claim to me that RoboSats is a darknet market. He's coping so hard right now. And it just comes through in this presentation because he's just so dishonest and so misleading. And it's basically just a waste of time, especially with the first half regarding Monero. He talks about ring signatures and EAE attacks. Like, dude, we know. this isn't new. Like, man. He mentions cases where these happened, incognito market, for example. And it's like, yeah, we know. And then he talks about how a weakness of Monero is if your device gets stolen, they can get your private key. Or if they do get your private key, they can see all your transactions. He actually said that. It's like, yeah. We know. Like, that's part of pretty much every cryptocurrency. It's pretty common. If someone were to get your Lightning Network device, they would probably also be able to see everything unless you're, you know. So he's like being so misleading. If I, like, hey, check out, this is my spend key for Monero. Oh, shit. Now you can use my Monero I have in there. Like, that's what he's saying. So anyways, it's just that whole, the first half where he's just talking about Monero, waste of time. And then he talks about Lightning privacy, but you know what? I was just like, nah, I'm just gonna skip this because, like, you're being dishonest with Monero. Why would I even trust what you're saying about Lightning? I did in the past. I listened to him talk with Body Anarchist. It's like a 3-hour podcast, and he's a snake, and it's why I just don't even respond to him anymore, other than kind of make fun of him for the fact that he's just coping because no one uses Lightning Network. The reason people use Bitcoin is to get rich. Read Darknet Market Maximalism, and maybe you'll understand something. You know, when it comes to Lightning, I don't dislike the concept of Lightning Network at all. I think it's a cool idea. But, like, that's kind of just it. Like, I think it's like a cool hobby project. I think it's gotten better. It's gotten more user-friendly over time. But, like, what you have to understand is the second these things start getting adopted on darknet markets, they're not going to, for many different reasons. But let's just remove those hypotheticals. They're just going to get shut down everywhere. And running these things on your own is a pain in the fucking ass. That's not user-friendly at all. What is user-friendly is easy-to-use applications that, honestly, I don't really trust anyways. All right, so next up we got Peter Schiff talking about Monero, actually name dropping it. We've talked about this before in the program. And he said, he's on his Twitter. He's ranting about MicroStrategy. It's pretty hilarious, actually, because he's been calling out MicroStrategy for a while, and he's right about a lot of things. And he was responded to by an attorney, who's Oliver Cushing, who says, "I agree with you on a lot of things, Peter, fan of both PMs and crypto for one reason, privacy. Thus, I think there is potentially some utility for privacy coins like Monero. Interested to know what your thoughts on that are." And in response, Peter Schiff just says, Monero is better than Bitcoin. Yeah, I don't think this is Peter Schiff like endorsing Monero, because he thinks, you know, Bitcoin is like a pile of poo, basically. So like we're probably like a smaller pile of poo to him. You know what I mean? Like he doesn't respect crypto from what I've seen. His respect for cryptocurrency is pretty low. He's a big PM guy, and it's all about store value for him. And he thinks that cryptocurrency has no value because it's just numbers on a screen instead of something that is like you can hold and that has historical precedent stuff. So with Monero, like, we can explain to him, you know, all the reasons why Monero has value. It's peer-to-peer digital cash. Like, that has so many use cases where, especially in the future, where it's going to become harder and harder to avoid surveillance, where we're probably going to go into a cashless society. You know, how are you going to donate money to a political party that is considered wrongthink? You know, how are we going to support people in countries with dictatorships that are trying to organize and fight back? You know, how are we going to buy things without corporations spying on us or without price discrimination? Like, there are absolutely valuable use cases that come from something like this. And that gives Monero value for sure. And there's other things as well. And I just don't think he gets that. I think for him, cryptocurrency is just like some scam. And for the most part, he's right. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he actually does have a little respect for Monero. But yeah, I don't really think he likes Monero that much. Of course, the Monero guys are blowing up his Twitter. You know, Doug, he asked him to be on Monero Talk and stuff. Oh, maybe he'll get him on. I don't know. I'll get him on for the DOT files, maybe. I would like to talk to Peter Schiff, but yeah, I would ask him about Monero, I guess. I guess I would ask him mostly about PMs, though, because I'm actually, myself, I like gold and silver. So most of the conversation would be about that, but I would have to bring up Monero and, you know, call him out on saying it's worthless, and see what he says. All right, let's get to the Super Chats, xmrchat.com/Xenu. All right, starting off, we have a donation from Black Snape, who gives 0.02 XMR. Thank you. And he says, is anybody else having issues with CakePay's gift card purchases? I've tried recently, and they stay pending indefinitely, and I end up having to cancel. Customer service said they don't know how to fix. I'm wondering if this happened to others too. Well, thank you for that donation. I did actually DM Vic, and he said he'd look into it. I think, are they actually telling you that, you know, they have no idea what's going on? Because I would be skeptical that it would be left at that. But I mean, are you not connected to the Monero network? Because the only reason it would be like pending indefinitely is if it's not receiving it. Like, because it sounds like you're not losing Monero, right? Because you would be complaining about that. You're saying it's pending. So yeah, that would be my best guess, is that you're not connected to the network, because it, like, you're not saying that your Monero isn't like being lost. And this one is from movie-trivia.i2p, who gives 0.1 XMR. Thank you so much for that big donation, man. I really appreciate it. And he says, every Sunday evening, as the clock ticks midnight UTC, join us for the IRC movie trivia and irc.postman.i2p #trivia. Winner gets 0.01 XMR. View website for more details. So yeah, that's pretty cool. So if you're into movies and you like I2P, there you go. You can check that out. Probably be a good time. And yeah, someone's been like uploading all my work too on I2P, which is pretty cool. I have like an archival list. Shout out to that guy. Yeah, I2P, I should use it more, to be honest. I do think it's pretty cool to have at least an alternative to Tor, right? And yeah, you could do the movie trivia if you want to. Check that link out. It's on my xmrchat.com page. The link is http://movie-trivia.i2p. So thank you again, my friend. Next up, I received a message from Private, who gives 0.01 XMR, and he sent a private message. I guess I can't read the message for you guys. He sent the message in Mandarin, so I translated it. And he basically was asking if what would happen if a large number of internet service providers decided to block port 180.080. Would that be bad? And can they do this? He also asked, what if there was a large number of spy nodes that flooded the network? He asked me, he heard that Monerod has poor support for IPv6. Oh man, how many questions are you asking me here, buddy? he also found out that the using Chinese can break the 255 character limit. Yeah, no shit. It's like a whole fucking essay you wrote me there, buddy. Well, no, I appreciate the donation. Thank you for that. So your first question, what if a lot of ISPs decide to block port 88080? Well, it would be blocked. Yeah, this is one of the things that sucks about the ClearNet. We're kind of beholden to ISPs. And yeah, this is definitely a way that Monero can be attacked. So, you know, I would use Tor or I2P to get around that. Because yeah, if Monero did have a target on its back, they probably would, you know, do stuff like that. But yeah, regarding a large number of spy nodes, yeah, that's happening like right now. I did a presentation on it. Well, I recorded a presentation for Rucknium. So you can look up Rucknium's work at MoneroCon in 2025 and the follow-up that they've done. Update your node with the ban list. You should look into that for sure. And then IPv6, I have no idea about poor support for IPv6. I haven't heard about that. But yeah, thank you very much for that donation. I appreciate it. All right, we got two more here. The first is from Big Yahoo. He gives 0.02 XMR. Thank you. He says, a few days after warning about crypto security holes, I get wrecked for 10K. Oh, no. With the RetoSwap hack number 2. Thanks, Obama. A white hat notified Rito team of the critical vulnerability. They didn't shut down the network immediately. The exploit was used 30 hours later. Then White Hat got a 1 XMR bounty. Call me a conspiracy theorist, but that sounds beyond negligence. Well, thank you, Big Yahoo. Okay, so I have not heard about that. I haven't really looked into the whole RetoSwap thing, to be honest, since it happened. I've been like MIA for the past week, to be honest with you. But yeah, I would not keep more than you're willing to use on RetoSwap. RetoSwap, my trust level for them has definitely gone down after these latest two exploits. You just have to be careful. So I wouldn't, yeah, leaving 10K on there, probably not the best idea. So I'm sorry that happened to you, but I would learn from that mistake because, you know, yeah, it's hard to trust any sort of platform, you know. There are alternatives too that aren't using like a centralized application, because if it's stored on the blockchain, like with BasicSwap or with Sarai that's upcoming, it's on the blockchain, so it's safer. But yeah, again, I didn't hear about the Rito team ignoring them, but you know, I can't really comment on that. But if it did happen, that sucks. And lastly, we got a comment from Rupert. He gives 0.01 XMR. Thank you. And he says, spread those cheeks. So yeah, so that's 2 weeks in a row we've had a troll chat that I received. What do you guys want to do? You want to make a leaderboard? We can make a leaderboard. Consecutive weeks of shitty ass messages. Consecutive weeks of a troll message being received. Who's the biggest troll? Rupert, you have nothing on Don't Be Gay, though. He's got you beat. He's definitely got you beat. You got more work to do, I guess. All right, well, that is that. Thank you guys so much for the support. You can go to xmrchat.com/Xenu if you want to appear on the show. And that is the end of the show. Okay, I'm going now. Hope you guys have a great week. See you guys soon.
Like a contortionist, late in the Porsche, my father driving. Things been sunny since I started rhyming. No denying me, I'm known to keep a fresh foot like podiatry. Nobody hires me. Green Timbs in Vegas, I'm like Steve Wynn. At the same time, fellatio from three twins. Those are triplets, I've been wildin' since the rabbi snipped it. Then they laughed and ate brisket. Fuck, on my behalf, we had a meeting at the Neptune. Had little daddy hide the heater in the restroom. Gun strong like my bath by my lady friend. Mesothelioma money, drop Mercedes Benz. And I ain't never left, you know I'm still here. Spit the shit to bring a cripple out the wheelchair. Bite a bitch like George Whipple in the staircase. Long as she got big nipples and a tan face.
Down the room,
yeah.
I can't be no fool.
You in the concrete right now.
Devil is on the loose, no
jungle
cool
room. Jungle room, yo. Foul living like Sandusky and Paterno. I've been husky, motherfuckers couldn't touch me. Low rugby with an Asian model so ugly. Celebration 1987, no bubbly. Facially, I'm like a young John Kennedy. More obscenity, EBT and Genovese. Go to I get 70 for 100. I want the 75 for Maki, buddy, fronted. Take the money, got 5 dimes. 2 chicken sandwiches, 9 limes. For the Canada drive, pose for the cameras by the banners to hide. In the summer, rock the vest, said salmon canine. Flex the 3-quarter cream fees. We summer steam G's. Steam red snapper Vietnamese. Catch a case, get a Jewish lawyer, beat it with cheese. Fuck the beef, cause it don't go together, reading the weed. It's very easy, make you disappear now, kid. Make your paper, but you need to stay grounded. Eyes wide like a chick that got the dick in the butt. We out here trying to get the money, baby, live it up.
Talk about me if you please, but I must be Hercules. Hercules.